Welcome back, everybody, to Keeping It True by You Pelicans. This is a good little combo episode as we get ready to transition from the draft over to summer league play. And, of course, all the free agency going on. A lot of things happening for your Pelicans here. Let's go ahead. We're going to start today's episode with a brief, and we know it's a little bit detached since the event. So we're going to go with a brief recap of the draft. I just want to put in some of my thoughts, some of my analysis now that the players have had a chance to be introduced, a chance to meet the media, a chance to meet the city. You know, it's always so important whenever you bring these draft picks in that they have a chance to meet the city, know who they're going to be playing for, and the type of place that has every opportunity for them if they choose to take it. Of course, if you missed out last week, Pelicans drafted Jeremiah Fears with their 7th pick overall. Derek Queen became the most controversial trade of the night as the Pelicans ship a potential high draft pick in next year's draft, where they had a pick swap with Milwaukee. It will end up being Atlanta's opportunity to pick swap as the Pelicans move up to 13 to draft Derek Queen out of Maryland. And then in the second round on day 2, they picked up Micah Peavy from Georgetown, a guard with a lot of size and a chance to compete for that specialty shooting guard role, one that right now you may say Jordan Hawkins has. It'll be definitely a very interesting start to not only summer league, but then the preseason as we see how that battle matches up. My initial thoughts on these three are a little bit maybe varied from what you hear in some of the other news outlets, particularly around draft night. Jeremiah Fears, I agree with the majority of national voices as well as our local voices that this guy has the potential to be the guy. Of course, I think of Jeremiah Fears' long-term role as being a facilitator, being somebody who will be able to bring finally some sort of guidance to the Pelicans as far as in a guard role. I feel like this team, since the departure of Drew Holiday, has lacked a true definitive point guard who can do many other things, but somebody who is primarily a point guard. And I think this sort of begins the transition back to having that role established. And certainly I think, you know, you look at the Joe Dumars era, that's going to be your definitive stamp saying that guy is the Joe Dumars era, as well as Derek Queen, of course. But beyond that, Jeremiah Fears, of course, somebody who is not quite as polished when it comes to shooting and is a slightly undersized guard by so many sort of perspectives. You know, they say, you know, I would like to see him maybe be a little taller and a little bit wider as far as the wingspan goes. But, you know, it's things that are nitpicky to a degree, because if you watch the way how he plays, I find he has the ability to take moments over. And when you think about what that brings a team, particularly the opportunity to not have to, you know, worry about, okay, am I going to trust my forward to, you know, take care of the ball and present the first distribution in a late second play? Am I going to, you know, with 3 seconds on the clock, have to ask Zion to, you know, bring the ball all the way up and then shoot a three? You know, there's certain things I like about having a true ball handler who can also find the basket. Now, as of now, I would say that's where Jeremiah Fears is at. He can find the basket, and I think his efficiency in scoring at that basket will come with time, particularly once he's around this NBA-level coaching tree. I'm very much excited for that. Now, to take a look at Derek Queen. Derek Queen, so much of what I feel like should have been the discussion got blindsided by the trade, and then a lot of people started not liking the pick because of the trade. Obviously, the trade was not the pick itself, so I am of the school that if you have somebody like a Derek Queen, somebody who by many standards was top 10 level material, and you see him start to fall, I don't mind going to get the guy. I really don't. It's not a major thing to where you should have to, I'm not going to say derail your plans, but, you know, you think about it in a way that Derek Queen is somebody who you potentially could have found yourself taking if you moved back from 7. So either way, I feel like with the way how Joe Dumars wants to build his team out, in continuing in Willie Green's style, but now in, I feel like, a little bit of a different flavor than maybe the Griff era. I feel like Derek Queen represents that. Now, some people will try and make a quick comparison to say this is basically Zion getting a knock at the door. You know, I don't know if it's that yet. I still don't know if Zion is where the team, particularly Joe Dumars, wants to build going into his next contract cycle. But as of now, I think this is somebody who is going to benefit from the way how this team is constructed. We're going to get into a little bit more when we talk about the free agency pickup and the undrafted free agent. But the way how this team is built right now at the bigs in the front court, it's really more of who can hustle their way to whatever they need to do. If it's being a rebounder, go hustle. If it's, you know, trying to score under the basket, put yourself in a position where you can get the ball via off-ball movement, things of that nature. And now, particularly that you have a proper pick-and-roll point guard, you really open up a couple more doors that weren't there all the time in these past couple seasons. And that's just one aspect to where it really changes the dynamic of the team, truly does. And Derek Queen, you know, you only had 1 year sample size. A lot of people talk about the motor. A lot of people talk about, you know, I don't know if he gets up and goes. I think he gets up and goes. I think he has shown potential that he is a guy who knows what to do when called upon. I don't necessarily think that a college freshman is going to be the most refined player in the world. And yes, you can say that there's, you know, so many examples of the other way around. But at the same time, if the guy at year two is playing at an all-star level, or much less that, playing at a competent starter level, I'm not upset with using the pick at 13. 13 to me is a guy who I'm going to get maybe one all-star run, the rest a solid starter for maybe 5 to 10 years, and a role player. You know, you hit diamonds in the rough with Herb and with Trey, but beyond that, you know, Kyra Lewis didn't get you very far. Now, no disrespect to Kyra Lewis, but you know, he never got you even starters minutes. So if this guy can go and be a potential starter in your team, or is playing six-man minutes, you know, 24-plus minutes a game by the end of his first year, I'm satisfied with that. And that really shapes up to how I believe that front court rotation is going to be implemented. And then lastly, briefly on day two, Micah Peavy, you know, somebody who I think it's very clear what his role is, and it's at 6'7", playing the guard role. Last year shot 48 from the field, 40 from three, you know, as a shooting guard. That's somebody who is clearly saying, you know, you look at the other shooting guard specialists that you have in that bench role, I think Jordan Hawkins is going to have to step his game up this year. Not saying that it's in a way that the Pelicans aren't entirely interested in continuing to develop him or to continue to push him to be developed, but you don't draft somebody who has such a similar ability to facilitate for your team in that way. I take a look at, you know, Micah Peavy. He's played at three different college institutions, made the tournament several times. He has played significant basketball, is relatively local to the area. It seems like the guy is pretty much shaping up to be, for all intents and purposes, kind of, you know, that really type of role guy you want to see, where he's comfortable, he's knowledgeable, like Joe Dumars talked about in the introductory press conference. These guys have all high basketball IQ, and I think that's going to kind of show in Micah Peavy, to a degree to where, you know, summer league ball, we'll see a lot of them because that's sort of just the nature of where it is and how the minutes shake out in summer league, but I'm excited to see this guy. I think he's going to really potentially be somebody who finds a spot should he get out of maybe getting sent down to Birmingham too often, play a potential role for this Pelicans team. You know, you still are not going to be without DeJounte Murray until at least January, so you're still short at the guard for now. I don't necessarily love the idea of him getting those minutes in October or November, but you know, December, early January, if he's shown that he can ball out against this level of competition, yeah, absolutely, give him a couple minutes. You know, maybe it's just a quick rotation in the second quarter, but I want to see him on the court, get to see what he can put out there. He's going to be an exciting player. But what is also very exciting, and of course I do have to ask, please help the algorithm on all of our wonderful social media platforms. You all have been absolutely doing great in the past month. You know, June was an incredible month for us here at True Bayou Sports Media. I'm very appreciative, and we're going to continue to knock it out. So much going on around the Bayou region. As of course you know, football is going to be back in the full swing now in the month of July. And you know, you got UFC 318 in New Orleans. We'll be taking looks at that as well as live looks from the event. Going to get you some really cool shots there. Just overall, I'm really excited. But you can only get this, of course, if you are subscribed here at True Bayou Sports. If you're on YouTube, TikTok, or wherever else you like to listen to the podcast, don't forget on social media, X, Instagram, and Facebook. All those fun sites. We, of course, will be keeping you up to date with everything going on in Bayou Region Sports as we get closer to August. And, of course, once we're in August, oh, you know, the calendar changes and it gets real exciting. But before we get there, two major pieces drop as you get past the draft. And one of them is for your summer league team and for your roster in general, but primarily for your summer league team. And then another one will be for, I believe, the building of that rotation, particularly when it comes to Derek Queen and how Joe Dumars wants to use his new rookie. And of course, that was Hunter Dickinson out of Kansas, who got picked up on a two-way deal. So of course, that means he is going to be eligible to play for the NBA roster up to 50 games next year. Otherwise, he will be down at Birmingham, enjoying some good G League action. So the guy last year, you know, as a senior, he played and did very well, 17-10. I love a guy who puts up 17-10. Now, a bit of a defensive liability, and that'll be worked out as you continue to train him up in Birmingham, and you know, you let him get a few, mostly almost a full year of experience down there. Of course, I don't know why you wouldn't expect him to be very easily to come and step in if you see major injuries, though, because you're still so thin when it comes up top. Of course, I like the way how the Pelicans can rotate. Willie Green is a small ball expert. But when you get a 7-footer, you know, I like the idea that that guy has the offensive potential to make a big difference. We'll see how long or if at all he can take to secure himself a contract full time. Maybe a year, maybe two. But certainly an interesting project, and you will see a lot of him when it comes to summer league ball, which we'll talk about right after we talk about our free agent signing. The only one so far, I kind of waited to make this episode so that way I could get a scope of the full NBA picture to get a better understanding of how things are shaking up as free agency develops. And so far, the only move that the Pelicans have made, but it's a significant one, is Kayvon Looney out of Golden State. He comes to the Pelicans for 2 years, $16 million contract, excuse me. And that'll be about 7.8 in year one. And then he'll get a bit of a boost on the back end there in year two. This is a guy who's won multiple NBA championships. And again, one of the reasons why I wait to put the episode out, you know, I wasn't first on this news. Obviously was not breaking news, but I do think that when you look at Looney and how he's going to make a big difference for your team, obviously is reunited with Jordan Poole. Now, everyone knows about when Jordan Poole and Draymond Green had their situation. Basically, it was Kayvon who had a vital role in keeping that locker room from completely going up in flames. Basically was able to be a mitigator, bring some peace in there. And that was one of the roles that I think Joe Dumars, as he's looking to change the culture, looking to put the best veterans around his young players as he can. You know, I think when you take a look at this selection as a free agent, it makes all the sense in the world. The guy only averaged 15 minutes over the past couple of years. So he's not going to take minutes away from your developmental pieces in Ease Meesey or in Derek Queen, but he's going to mentor them. He's going to show them how to play the position, particularly for Derek, in an undersized fashion where he's exceeded, particularly when you take a look at his roles in postseason play whenever it actually matters and the lights are on the brightest. I really like how he's played the game of basketball. He had a significant role in their last championship, and this is just a smart signing. Again, 2 years, $16 million, going to see most of that slightly leaning towards the back end the second year. But Pelicans are also still in very strong position when it comes to the money that they have left. They're still sitting well underneath the luxury tax, so they can most definitely sign at least one, maybe two additional players, depending on how they get creative with it. And that would allow them to maybe get a little bit more, I wouldn't say necessarily just veteran leadership, but maybe a crafty player who would want to come in on that type of a deal and put themselves in a position to do some things with a very, you know, developmental squad. It's going to be an interesting year for the Pelicans, because at the same time, you have enough of your core from when you were pushing for a playoff position. You realistically should have been fifth in, you know, the last full year with Zion. But, you know, the way that season ended up, you ended up in the play-in, and then we know how the play-in went. Nevertheless, you know, it is a situation where this team should be contending for a play-in spot. A lot of people don't want to believe that. Clearly, you look at the, you know, percentages, when you look at the odds makers, have them at plus 25,000 still, yeah, in the current odds, and I don't think that's realistic. I just don't. I think it's a little bit undervaluing the squad, undervaluing the retention, and the amount of veterans that you have on this team. DeJounte Murray, Jordan Poole, Zion, when, you know, we're going to put that in big air quotes, but Zion is there. And now, of course, young vets with Herb Jones, Trey Murphy, Jose Alvarado. You know, he's seen a lot of basketball. Good to get him some rest after what he had to do, both playing for Puerto Rico and the Pelicans. So he's gotten some rest this offseason that'll hopefully keep him healthy, as many of these other players need to start working their way towards a more complete health situation. But quick note here, we're going to go over some schedules. We're going to talk a little bit about this podcast in particular, some things that will be relevant as we get a little bit deeper into the offseason. So the Pelicans have released their at least first round of games, which will be July 10th against the Timberwolves, July 12th against Bronny and the Lakers, July 15th against the Trailblazers, and July 16th against the Thunder, all that in summer league action out in Las Vegas. And then of game five is kind of depending on their playoff system, the way how summer league works. So if the Pelicans have a chance to play for a potential summer league title again, as we kind of got a little bit of fun with that a couple years ago, hopefully it would be something we can have again, really get you right there next to training camp opening and covers that summer gap as far as sports news goes. But you know, some fun games you'll have. Trailblazers have some interesting pieces. Like we said, Bronny with the Lakers, we'll see how he's looking in year two. And the Thunder coming off of a championship, we'll see what their young pieces look like. Their core, of course, they are still so very young themselves as a team, but you know, you always look at these summer league games to kind of see what's up and coming in the league, and that's where you find a lot of your players that are going to play a major role for you one way or the other, your two-way guys, so forth and so on, and of course your international pieces that you may have stocked away. So a lot to be excited about there. Also, the preseason schedule was announced, and look, I don't want to get too deep into this because it's preseason NBA basketball, but it is a little bit frustrating that every year it's kind of expected that the Pelicans are going to basically be going out and doing fan base support building, is what I'll call it. And in this year, they got selected to go out to Australia. So we'll get to face two NBL teams in Melbourne United and Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. That'll be in Melbourne, Australia on October 3rd and October 4th. And then you come back to the U.S. a week, it's about 10 days later, actually, to face the Rockets and the Magic. So first look at KD and the Rockets. But it's going to be in Birmingham, which I'm all for giving the G League team a chance to host a preseason game. I think that really ties the two communities together very well. And then they end up going on the road to Orlando for the Magic, and that's the end of the preseason. So as, you know, our local Louisiana, New Orleans fans, you're not going to get to see this team until the home opener, which is a little unfortunate. I know they're going to probably do their open house, which they do every year, and that's a good event, don't get me wrong. But I do wish that you had the opportunity to get that one preseason game in New Orleans and get it on TV as well. Get people excited for basketball. It's such a weird time. You got right in the middle of college football, right in the middle of NFL. Just to get a little bit of a window for people to actually get a chance to put their eyes on the team, particularly with all the changes going on. Wish it was the case, but of course, it'll be interesting to see those Australia games. Of course, I'm sure that'll get some good news and coverage once those happen. But that's basically all the, you know, in-between draft and summer league news there is. If, of course, there's a major free agent signing for some reason or another trade, I will be, of course, here to tell you all about it here on Keeping It True by You Pelicans. Again, thank you all for watching. We'll see you once summer league gets going in about 10 days. And looking forward to seeing everything that goes on with that. Thanks, everybody.
This has been a True Bayou Media production. This show is for entertainment purposes only and does not render legal or financial advice. Remember to bet responsibly. Distribution of this podcast is prohibited without the express written consent of True Bayou Media or its subsidiaries. Thanks for being true by us. We can't wait until next time we keep it true by you.